And we are returning to Jeremiah 6 as we deal with the motto text for this year, Jeremiah chapter 6. The Lord is lamenting how bad things are in Jerusalem on the religious front in verse 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace. And there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall, and the time that I visit them they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. And God will bless the reading from his word for his name's sake. Please bow with me for a moment as we go to the Lord, praying for that grace that we need. Let's all seek him together. Father in heaven, we know it's thy delight when thy people seek thee. How often we find in thy word all those promises attached to prayer, all the encouragements found within the scriptures to a people who seek the Lord. Lord, we're here to seek thee this night, here even now at the throne of grace to pray for help. Man's help never works. The only help that makes any difference when all is said and done is the divine help that comes through thy Spirit and through thy truth. We pray now that thou wilt fill the servant of God with the Holy Ghost and he'll be borne along tonight in this meeting. May our eyes be looking for Christ. May we see the Lord standing in the way, calling us to follow him. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. As I said, I come back tonight to finish what I set out to do this morning in the motto text, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, or the roads, the paths, and see and ask for the old paths, same word as ways there, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. When the Lord tells them to stand in the ways, plural, stand in the roads, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, it's obvious there are multiple roads they could take. They're at a crossroads. Standing at the crossroads is the title I have given to this message that was preached the first time to the inhabitants of Jerusalem through the prophet Jeremiah. Jerusalem was in a state of constant agitation and restlessness. It was a time very similar to our own when they were hearing of wars and rumors of wars. To take the words of Jesus Christ to his church so that she would know when the time for his second coming is drawing nigh, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And that's what they were hearing in Jeremiah's day. The southern kingdom, Judah, where Jeremiah carried out his prophetic ministry, was living under the continual threat of attack by what was undeniably the greatest war machine of his day, the Babylonian army. But the underlying problem in all of Judah's troubles wasn't this threat of invasion. The underlying problem was that they had refused to go God's way, but opted to go their own way. That was their big problem. Verse 7 paints a very graphic picture of how bad things were on the spiritual front in Jerusalem and Judah. As a fountain or a spring casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil, or you could read violence and plunder, is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds caused by all their violence and their plundering. The path they chose to walk in was a path of defiance of God, and it brought them to a state of spiritual devastation and spiritual disease. The false prophets in the land had attempted to heal the hurt of God's people, verse 14. Priests, false priests and false prophets, they've healed also the hurt of my people. The word for hurt denotes a breaking, a crushing, a shattering, a bruising. The effects of their sinful course was devastating upon the people. And yet the false prophets, God says, had gone about to heal these terrible wounds and crushings and breakings and bruises slightly. The Hebrew word has the idea of trifling, to make light of something, insignificant, not a big deal. All they sought to do to help the situation, which was disastrous spiritually, was to say to them, shalom, shalom. Everything's going to turn out all right. We promise it's going to be okay. Babylon's not going to come. You're not going to be carried away captive. It's going to be fine. Don't you worry. The Lord said they treated the hurt of his people as if it was a trifle. Against that backdrop of human depravity and turmoil that always comes with the depravity stood God's prophet Jeremiah. He was without a doubt the most unpopular of all of the Old Testament prophets, primarily because he told the people the truth when they didn't want to hear it. He told the people the truth when they didn't want to hear the truth. It was King Jehoiakim, you may recall, who took the prophecies of Jeremiah that Baruch, the scribe, had written down on a scroll, and Jehoiakim took his penknife and he cut those parts out he didn't like and cast them into the fire. Can you imagine such a thing? This is the God-breathed word coming from the Holy Ghost to Jeremiah. It's been written down, and he takes out a penknife, cuts up what he doesn't like, and throws it into the fire. Well, Jeremiah's response was to be admired. Baruch, write it again. Jeremiah was also unpopular because he seemed in their eyes to be nothing but a pessimist. I mean, they thought that his entire preaching was all about doom and gloom. They didn't want to hear that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. They didn't want to hear, as Jeremiah told them, that their children were going to be dashed against the rocks. They didn't want to hear that they were going to go into captivity and become slaves to a foreign nation. They did not want to hear about their sin and their rebellion against God. They didn't like him. There was also the perception that Jeremiah, because of his message, his ministry, and his methods at times, they thought he was old-fashioned, out of date, obsolete as a prophet. He was always harping on the old times, the old ways, the old saints. He was always talking about walking in the fear of the Lord. And you can just hear them. We've heard that. We've heard it 100 times. So Judah looked at Jeremiah as a prophet whose time had passed and whose message wasn't what they really needed to hear and what they didn't want to hear. This text we're turning to once again this evening speaks of a time when Israel was standing at a crossroads where there were two roads before her. One road was called the old paths, and the other road was obviously called the new paths. So we're looking at the truth this text is teaching as it speaks to the Lord's people 2019, especially as God's people stand at the beginning of a new year. On more than one occasion throughout this year, all of us are going to come to crossroads in our life's journey. We saw this morning the inherent dangers that we face whenever we come to a crossroad where we're faced with old path or new path. Dangers that are inherent. There are always going to be false teachers, as there were in Jerusalem, and false doctrines that will tell us what we want to hear as opposed to what we need to hear. And when you're standing at a crossroads, that danger will be magnified because the devil will be sure that you hear what you want to hear and try to keep out you hearing what you need to hear. It's a danger. There's always the danger of failing to stop and consider. So he says, stand ye in the ways and see. Stop and consider what the consequences are if we take the wrong road. If we don't think it through, if we don't try to understand where this road is going to lead me if I take it, then we are in danger of going down a very wrong road in life, and it's going to be disastrous for us. And of course, there's always this danger at the crossroads of being attracted, drawn to a new path just because it's new. It's changed. It's different. The old thought is old. It's worn out and it's boring. You need something new. But as we saw this morning, the Lord has given us wise counsel for these crossroads. He has told us that we need to stand in the ways and see, to stop and consider, instead of making a hasty decision to rush headlong down this path, which seems so appealing. And the great need for all of us this year is that we stop and take the time. Don't get in a hurry when it comes to taking care of our souls. Nothing more important you can do in any day than to take care of your soul. Nothing will so prepare us for those times at the crossroads than by taking the time to stop amongst all the rushing headlong into the day, to stop and look after our spiritual lives and look after our walk with God. We only ignore that counsel to our peril. It never ends well. It never works out. But there's more to this counsel from the Lord. I didn't get to finish this morning. Not only does he tell his people to stand in the ways and see, but notice in the second place that God counsels us to ask for the old paths. The word ask, it just means that. Inquire about. Find out what the old paths actually are so you can walk down them. They were being in Jerusalem, all these new paths and these new ways were being put before them. And Jeremiah says, listen, you need to stop and ask for, inquire about, well, what are the old paths? I've heard about the new ones, but what are these old paths? So just what did Jeremiah mean when he spoke of these old paths he wanted them to inquire after? He was clearly referring to the old paths of the faith that the patriarchs had followed for well over 1,000 years. He would have wanted them to inquire, to search, find out about the paths, the roads that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked down. Find out what they believed about God and what they believed about life in this world and how they should live their lives and how God is to be worshipped and followed. Ask about those. Where did Abraham go? What path did he go down? He wanted them to find out all they could about the paths that had been followed by Moses and by Joshua and by Samuel and the paths of David and Solomon and Hezekiah and Jehoshaphat, more recent kings. Men who stood out. Giants among the saints. Ask about the paths they walked down. So when you begin to look into the paths that those Old Testament saints walked, you'll find that it was the Scripture. It was God's Word. But it was the all-controlling factor that guided their steps. You'll find that the law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, directed them, taught them what was good and what was evil, right and wrong. The worship of God through the sacrificial system was that which conducted their feet throughout life. They all believed God must be worshipped and he must be worshipped his way or no way. It's got to be through the sacrifice, through the shedding of the blood, which they understood was all pointing to one who would come and suffer and die and crush the head of the serpent. They weren't in for this new shenanigan stuff. They weren't in for this new way of worshiping God as far as those false priests and false prophets were telling them in Jerusalem. Jeremiah was saying, and I said, don't listen to them. You ask for the old paths. These were the the ancient paths, so that word old is translated at times. The ancient paths, paths that were well known, and paths that were well worn by the most eminent saints of the Old Testament. And these were the old paths that Jeremiah was telling them to inquire after. Ask about them. Find out. What did they believe? How did they live? What were their views of what is right and wrong? Ask for them. Look there at that road, that old path. It's well worn. New path. Not so well traveled. Yes, Robert Frost wrote a poem about that, didn't he? Came to a crossroads and saw two roads before him. One was well traveled. He didn't choose that one. He took the road less traveled. And he said, that has made all the difference. The mystery, of course, is what he actually meant by that when he said it's made all the difference. Frost himself said before an audience one time, that poem, that's the tricky one. Did he mean it was a good thing he took it? Or he found out it made all the difference because he showed him that's not the road I should have taken. One thing I do know, the new paths are not the well-traveled paths that Jeremiah is telling the people of God to inquire after. Jeremiah was referring to those ways that those Jewish patriarchs went down, but just because Jeremiah was talking about those Old Testament saints doesn't mean that there isn't any present-day application for us. Quite the contrary, I believe that just as this counsel to inquire after the old paths was the remedy that would truly heal the hurt of the people of Jeremiah's day if they had followed it, it's this very same counsel that needs to be given in this day. It's the same counsel that needs to be given in this day. What needs to be seriously pursued by the Lord's people just now is to do what God says. Ask for, inquire into the old paths that our spiritual forefathers walked down. Can you imagine what would happen within the church if Christians began to go to their minister and ask him to teach them about what the old saints believed, what the old saints, how they lived their lives? Can you imagine? We want you to tell us about these old paths. The church doesn't need to have her hurt healed slightly, triflingly, by men who only preach a prosperity gospel. She doesn't need to be pointed down some new path, some path of human innovation, however sincere the one may be who's pointing the Lord's people down that path. What we need to do is to find out where the patriarchs and the prophets and the apostles and the church fathers and the reformers and the Puritans and the Whitfields and the Edwards and the McShanes and the Bonners, so on and so forth, where they set down their feet. What did they understand the old paths to be? Think about the old paths that Christians walked down in the early church. Most of their spiritual leaders, the apostles, were fishermen, unlearned and ignorant. That's how the Pharisees described them. They had no formal training. They had no vast libraries of books. Their creeds were very short. No long confessions of faith. And their worship was very simple. But what they knew about God and what they knew about Christ, they knew very well. And what they believed very strongly. And they did not hesitate to tell anyone about the way. They did not hesitate. They knew what they believed, why they believed it. And were quite happy to tell others what they believed and why they believed it. They had a firm grip with both hands, not with the forefinger and the thumb. That's not a very tight grip, you know. But with both hands, they had a firm grip on the personality and the deity and the offices and the mediation and the atoning work and the free and full grace that's in Jesus Christ. They knew that, and they knew it well. They held very tightly to the doctrine that there can be no separation from faith and repentance, that where there is faith, there will be a life that has repented of a life of sin. They held strongly to that. They held tightly to the teaching that a Christian life is a Christ-like life of holiness, self-denial, and love. Not love only, love included, but of holiness, of separation, self-denial, Christ-likeness. And so they lived, those early Christians, they lived upon those truths. It was their bread and their drink spiritually. And they lived for those truths. And you and I know they were quite ready to die for those truths. They walked the ancient paths of a pilgrim. Surely you can see that by walking down those old paths, they knew just what road to take when they came to a crossroads. They just knew it. There was, well, that's a new way. I'm not going that way. I've been walking down this old path for a long time, and it's enabled me to see very clearly that if I go down that path, I'm diverging off away from the old ways, the old doctrines, the old attitudes, the old mindset that saints have embraced for millennia. Millennia. I honestly think that if you were to set before modern day Christians what these old saints actually believed, and what they believed not only about redemption and salvation, but what they believed what godliness looked like and how it was to be practiced, I have no doubt that jaws would drop. They would drop. But you know what? They don't even know it. Because so many of those old saints aren't even known about. See the need to ask for the old paths? How about those reformers? How about them? The Reformation. Yeah, they, like every other man, they weren't perfect. They had faults and failings. But I'll tell you what they did. They brought to the light of day, once again, the old paths that had been buried for centuries. Don't you think it would be interesting to inquire after the old paths that they traveled? The very ones who brought to the light of day again the great truths of the gospel that had been just hidden away for hundreds of years. It was the largest revival the world has ever seen. Pentecost pales in comparison to the immediate outreach, the effect it had upon the world. A study of what these men believed, what they preached to their congregations, and how they lived their lives would certainly help us when we're at a crossroads. What about the giants of the faith who stood out in their day, like a John the Baptist? I believe it would do a world of good to the Christian who will ask for the old paths that the Puritans walked down. Men like Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards and C.H. Spurgeon and Robert Murray McShane and Andrew Bonner and my, there's such a rich history of men who walk the old paths. What did they believe? The wonderful thing is you can find it. It's all out there. Most of it's free of charge. You don't have to invest in an expensive library. Almost all of these works are in a downloadable form PDF file. Download it to your computer and you can read away. But how few are asking about the old paths? I'll tell you what I have learned from what I have read about the old saints and the old paths. When I sit down in a room, so to speak, with the likes of men like that, and I find as I listen to them, they're all saying the same thing about some old path, and what a new one is, but I find direction for my soul. I see the old path I need to follow. Of course, we live at a time in in church history where there is simply a lot of ignorance of these old saints and the old paths that they walked. If they were known, perhaps, just perhaps, that the accusations that come that our doctrines are old and worn out, and how we practice our faith is outdated and irrelevant, would begin to grow less and less. If there was just the serious inquiring, what are the old paths? That takes some work. It takes time. It takes some study. Reading and thinking and praying. Who's got time for that? Ah, now we come back to stand ye in the ways and see and consider. Stop and consider. The fact that stands undeniable and unshakable in all of the attempts to discredit the old paths, that's exactly what the false prophets in Jeremiah's day were doing. They were discrediting the truths he was preaching. Those are old fogey paths. Follow us and listen to us, the new ones. The fact remains, the greatest victories that have ever been won by the Church of Jesus Christ throughout history have been won when she followed the old paths, not when she followed the new ones. The greatest victories that have ever been won have been won by God's people when they have followed the old path. It ought to sound strange to our ears when we hear that some precious old path that has been followed for thousands of years by God's people is now being viewed as error, a path that should be abandoned. I'm talking about for thousands of years. No, we need a new path now. That should sound strange to us. Brothers and sisters, don't you think in light of this text, it would be a wise, very wise thing that as we face this year, we would ask for the old paths? Perhaps there is some book, you know. If you want advice, I can happy to give it to you. In fact, if you want to come to my study and pick out a book, I want to read about the old paths that old saint walked down. I want to find out. Because I'm not really getting a whole lot of help from Fox News and the Drudge Report along those lines. I think that'd be a... You want to make a resolution? Then make that one. Ask, inquire about the old paths. Third bit of counsel. The old paths must be walked. Stand ye in the ways and see, consider. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. You see, it's one thing to ask for the old paths, to want to know where they are, what they are, and it's another thing to actually walk down them yourself. You can learn a lot about the old paths, the old ways of the old saints, the old doctrines, the old convictions. But that doesn't mean you're walking down the path. It's a very subtle delusion that you can enter into just because you know about them You can think, well, I do them kind of. Not the same. You see, it doesn't matter what we read. It doesn't matter how much information we acquire, with whom we talk about these things, or even how often we pray, unless we walk in the good way. There's no use. John Bunyan tells about a fellow called, if you've read Pilgrim's Progress, Mr. Talkative, who was very ready and quite fluent when it came to religious discussions and conversations. But when it came to the practical side of the religious conversations and discussions, he always left that to others. You talk about the doctrines, but not about the practice. You talk about the lessons, but not about the life. Mr. Talkative has, to this day, relatives who are alive and well. You and I don't ever want to forget that no man can get to heaven by simply looking at maps of the road to heaven, or speaking with those who are walking down the road to heaven, or up the road, I should say. We have to walk in the good way, for our text says only those who walk in the good way, only those who walk in the old paths find rest for their souls. And ye shall find rest for your soul. So there is a rest that we are to enjoy in this life, and there is a full and final rest we are to enjoy in the next life. But whether it's here or whether it's over yonder, the way to find rest for our souls is by walking the old paths. I started out by pointing out that this city was deeply agitated. You talk about restless, there was no peace. In spite of all the false teachers, peace, 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 shalom, shalom, shalom. Man, those people were really agitated. They had no rest in their souls. What's the Lord tell them? You want rest. And you walk down the old paths. Ask for them. Walk down them. What's that mean? Well, before anyone will ever enjoy spiritual rest, they have to walk down the old path of pardon. Pardon for sin. Only by the blood shedding of Christ. And that's our real problem, after all, isn't it? It's our sin. That causes us so much trouble, so much agitation, fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. Not all my study of the old paths and the old saints are going to bring me rest. Not all my Bible reading and all my praying is going to bring me rest. I've got to walk down this path of the blood atonement of Christ if I'm going to find rest from my sins, because they will slap wear you out. Before a man can enjoy spiritual rest, the old path of believing that this book here is inspired and it actually is infallible, which means it comes with absolute authority over my life. I'm not going to find any rest, spiritual rest, apart from believing that.
You won't find anybody resting in their soul when they have doubts about whether or not this is God's word. Whether or not it's really infallible, that it can be trusted implicitly. They're not going to find rest. And they're not going to go down the path because they don't really believe that it's all authoritative. It has the right to tell them exactly how to live and what to do and what not to do. And that always gets you in a mess. Absolute authority over the life tells me what to believe and what to not believe, what to love and what to hate, what to run after and what to run away from, where to go, where not to go. It's all there, and that's what those old saints were following, this book. A man will never enjoy this rest without walking down the old path of fellowship with God. Tell me, have you not found yourself times as a child of God when you have been the most disturbed, the most anxious, the most worried, the most fearful, the most downcast? I ask you one simple question. How is your walk with God? That's all I want to know. What's the communion like? That's it. Had you been praying? I don't mean paying lip service. Just a few minutes, and you rush on out to your job or to whatever you've got to do. Well, there's no surprises there why you don't have rest. None. Isn't it interesting that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Come to me. That's where it comes from. That's the old path of communion. And we do this, brothers and sisters. We come to a crossroads. We'll know what to do. We'll guard ourselves from the dangers. We won't be tempted to go another way. No, we'll stick with the tried and proven way. We'll follow the old saints. We'll follow the book. Indeed, we'll follow Christ. That's the best thing. Let's bow our heads in prayer and seek the Lord together. Let's all pray. Tonight, Father in heaven, at the end of this Sabbath day, we ask of thee to show us the old paths. Never do we come to a time in our life when we don't need to know more about the old paths, the old ways, the old doctrines. We never arrive. Always needing to be brought into the school to learn, to cast off the bad ways, to take on the new ones. Now, Lord, come this year and show us individually and show us collectively as a little church just what we need to be seeking, what we need to find out from Thee, what's so vital. Tarry with us, our God, throughout the remainder of this evening. Give us rest, body, mind, and soul. That when tomorrow, when that alarm clock goes off, we'll be ready to receive from Thee the promised mercies. We'll put on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. In his name we pray, amen and amen.